father's wise wisdom, and I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best, lovingly its part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his children. Trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith, sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meet thee, ere to take us from my father's hand. One by one the days of
thank you, Carol. Turn to Jeremiah, please, chapter 6. We're going to look at two chapters in Jeremiah this morning as we continue to go through this book of prophecy on Sunday mornings. The title of the message, Amend Your Ways and Doings, is a phrase from chapter 7, verse 3, and this has to do with the sermon. In chapter 7, it's a sermon that Jeremiah gives to the people. And as we look at our outline from chapter 6, we'll see that they're told to flee from trouble and then to follow the instructions that are given. And because they've rejected God, they have been foiled and defeated by God and rejected. And then we'll look at the fundamentals of Jeremiah's sermon when we get into chapter 7. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this book of prophecy that you've given to us as you dealt with your people Israel through your servant Jeremiah. Today you deal with your people, the church of the living God, and Lord, you do so through your word as well, even as you gave the word to Israel. So help us to heed the word of God this morning, and may your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts and help us to be receptive to the message from your Spirit. In Christ's name we ask, amen. First of all, he says there's trouble coming. And so in chapter 6, beginning at verse 1, he says, O you children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee. And so there's trouble on the way. And God gives a warning to them to tell them to get out. And warnings are given out of love. Whenever God warns us, he warns us of hell. And it's because he doesn't want anybody to go there. And sometimes when people get warnings, they kind of take it personally, being threatened by someone because they're being warned of something. But God gives his warning, and he says to the city, destruction is coming. And then he goes down, and we'll not go every verse. Verse 5, he says, arise, and let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces there. And so daylight is passing, and there's an urgency here. And normally they would go by day, but the destruction is coming, and the destruction that's coming to Jerusalem is so great, he's saying, it's time to get out of here, and it's time to flee. And of course, God is going to end up doing some judgment and punishing of them. And sometimes God uses other people to do it, as he does to Israel. He brings others to bring persecution to them. And so as God tells us, he tells Israel in verse 8, be thou instructed there. And we need to learn to be instructed. And he says you need to be instructed to avoid desolation, verse 8. Be instructed, O Jerusalem, unless my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. God says, I'll wipe you out totally if you don't. And remember what Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And so God wants us to be instructed, and he gives us his word so that we can be instructed and we can avoid destruction and being laid waste here. And so they weren't listening very well. And so God says you need to adjust your hearing in verse 10. He says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. They have no delight in God's word. Whenever we have delight in God's word, we want to know what it says. We want to be instructed in God's word. And here he uses the term, their ear is uncircumcised. We know that circumcision was for the Jews, and those who were referred to as being uncircumcised were the heathen people. And so he says that God's people, Israel, they are responding to his word like heathen people would do. The uncircumcised, the Gentiles there, they don't want anything to do with God's word. They certainly do not delight in hearing God's word. And so he comes down, continuing in chapter 6, verse 13. He says, for from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet to the priest, everyone deals falsely. And this is a result of having no delight in God's word. Because see, there's one or the other choices. We can choose to delight in God's word and be instructed in what he says, or we can be covetous, which is self-centered and wanting our own way and doing what we want to do and not what God instructs us to do. And so he says, it's time to abandon your covetousness. They were living pretty much like in the Judges. Remember in the days of Judges what the Bible says? For every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And so that's what they're doing, and that's what covetousness is. I'm going to do what's right for me. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to take delight in the instructions of God's word, but I'm going to do as I want to. From the least of them, from the servant, even to the king, they all were just doing whatever they wanted to do. And so God says, that won't work. He says, you need to walk in the ways that I have told you. Verse 16, he says, thus saith the Lord, stand you in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And so God wanted them to have rest, God wanting them to have blessing, but they said, we don't want to hear God's word. We're not going to delight in God's word. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to go my own way, and I'll find rest the way I want to find rest. But it didn't work. God says, you want rest? I have the recipe for rest for you if you'll follow my word. And they said at the end of verse 16, but they said, we will not walk therein. So God said, here's the way. Walk in this way. You'll have rest. You'll have joy. You'll have contentment. You'll have the things that you're trying to find. They said, nope, we're not going to do it your way, God. We're going to do it our own way. Here's the covetousness that he warns them about in verse 13. And the same is true for us. Whenever we think that we can go our own way and we know better than God what is good for us and what way in which we should walk, we err greatly when we do that. So it comes down to verse 17. He says, also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, verse 19, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened to my words, nor to my law, but they rejected it. So they rejected God's word and God's law and God's ways, the old paths, and wanted to go in new paths, paths that they would set for themselves, ways of covetousness here. And so in verse 20, he asked a question, to what purpose comes to me incense from Sheba? And so now we're going to see that they are not aligning their walk with the Lord. And it says, you're offering me incense. He says, and the sweet cane from a far country. Do you ever have sugar cane? You get some stalks of sugar cane and kind of chew on those things, the sweet cane that's there, the incense they would use for sacrifice. He says, nor your sacrifices were sweet unto me. And here they were going their own way, a way of covetousness, but they still wanted to sacrifice some to God. And he says, your sacrifices, they're not acceptable to me. And so here they were going their own way, but they kind of wanted to throw God a bone, so to speak, kind of throw some crumbs to God. And don't we have a society that does that in different ways today? Oh, they'll say, oh, I'll give God maybe, a Sunday a month, or maybe I'll throw a $10 bill in their offering plate, or I'll listen to some religious broadcast here, you know, and they start throwing God to crumbs, and they're going to somehow try to please God. And God says in verse 20, he says, what do you think you're doing? I don't want any of that. It's not sweet to me. I will not accept that kind of sacrifice, because they were going their own way, trying to walk their own path and trying to please God at the same time. And God says, that's not going to work. God gave his all for us. He expects our all for him as well. And so their sacrifices were unacceptable. And the status that God had for them in verse 27 for Jerusalem, he says, I've set thee for a tower and for a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. God wanted them to be an instrument whereby others could be tried and proven to be righteous, but they weren't even righteous themselves. They were going their own way. And God, in verse 30, he rejected them. It says, reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Why did God reject them? If you will look again back to verse 19, it says that I gave them my words, they hearkened not, but they rejected my words. And so when God has rejected them, it's because they rejected him. Because we know the New Testament teaches the same thing, that if we come to God, he will in no wise cast us out. And so, but they were rejecting God. And anyone who was ever rejected by God, it's because they rejected God there. He offers salvation and forgiveness and cleansing to anyone. But some people, instead of wanting to do it God's way, they said, no, I'll do it my way. Covetousness. The greatest to the least of them, they wanted to do it their way. And because of all this, we come to chapter 7, and this is where we see the sermon that Jeremiah has. And he mentions in verse 3, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. And so when we think about the ways and doings, these two words, ways and doings, occur six times in the book of Jeremiah. And they occur together 15 times in the Old Testament. And usually when you see these two words together, your ways and your doings, it has to do with man's wickedness. And here's Israel going in their own way, a way of covetousness, and God says it's a way of wickedness here. In Jeremiah chapter 10, a few chapters away that we'll get to, he says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to his doings. And over in Job, not both of those phrases, but he says, he knoweth the way that I take. God knows the way that I take. And God has told them, choose the good way. Choose the right path, the old paths, the paths of old that have been established by your spiritual forefathers. And they said, nope, we don't like that way. It's too old-fashioned. It's too traditionalist. We want something more contemporary. We want something modern for today. We're going to serve God the way we want to there. And they were not acceptable to God, and he rejected them there. And so when we look at the ways and doings here in this chapter, in verse 8, as well as verse 4, it says, trust not in lying words. And so when a person's ways and doings are going in a way of selfishness, instead of trusting God's word, they are indeed trusting their own word. And that was the problem with Israel. They said, I'm going to go my way. I'm trusting what I'm doing. I think I've got this. I know what I'm doing. And they're going to trust their own ways. Well, whenever a person's ways and doings are right before the Lord, he's going to be treating others properly. Verse 5, it says, for if you truly amend your ways and doings, if you truly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor. And then in verse 6, it talks about the strangers and the fatherless and the widows there. So when a man's ways and doings are pleasing to the Lord, he's going to trust the Lord. He's going to treat other people with respect and with the love of God there. But when his ways and doings are not according to God, he's going to be mistreating others. He's also going to be murdering the innocent, as it talks about here as well in verse 6. He says, if you oppress not the stranger and the fatherless and widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place. And so, of course, we believe that abortion is murder. It's shedding innocent blood. And isn't the media so two-faced when it comes to this? You know, whenever they are trying to support abortion, they don't refer to it as a human being, as a fetus, or, you know. But whenever a sad tragedy like yesterday in Darlington County, if you may have read that, a car accident that claimed the lives of five people, and it says, and two of those were unborn children. Now they're referring to them as unborn children, which they are. And that's a sad story. There were 11 in that vehicle, and five of those 11 died, and they were all in the same family, and that happened in Darlington yesterday, so pray for them. But here God says, if you're going to amend your ways, if you're going to have the right ways and doings, you need to have trust in God, not yourself. You will be treating other people properly. You'll not be murdering the innocent, and you'll not be full of misery if you trust God and go his way. And verse 6, notice those three words, to your hurt. It says, neither walk after other gods to your hurt. When God's people, like Israel was God's people, and we as God's people, when we decide to walk our own way and try to find rest to our souls the way we want it, we will always do so to our own hurt. God has what's best in store for us, and whenever we try to figure it out ourselves, we mess it up. Well, also, God has what's best for us. In verse 7, he says, then will I cause you to dwell in this place, the land that I gave to your fathers. He says, I want you to dwell here. I want you to have the best. I gave your fathers the land, and you're going to miss it because you think you can walk in your own paths, in your own way, and not walk in the old paths, the paths of your fathers that they have established, the way of truth there. And whenever you do that, he says, there's minimal gain. Verse 8 says, behold, you trust in lying words that is words that you've told yourself, that cannot profit. And whenever we go our own way, and we think our way is better than God's way, and we're trusting in our own understanding. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord, lean not unto thine own understanding. And here they were doing that, and God says, you cannot profit. Proverbs 10, verse 2 says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. And whenever our ways and doings are pleasing to God, we're going to have profit from God. But when our ways and doings are of our own device and what we want to do, there's going to be no profit. So if you continue to do the things you're doing, you'll continue to go in the way you're going. And so he says, you need to amend your ways and your doings. Stop going the way you're going and doing the same thing you're doing, because you're going to keep getting the same result. In order to get a different result, you've got to change the way you're going, and you've got to change the things that you're doing. And so he addresses the ways and doings. And now in his sermon, he addresses wicked hypocrisy. Look at verse 9. He asked a question, will you steal and murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not? And so this is what they were doing all week long. They were worshiping other idols. They were living for self, a covetous life. And then they would come and, as I said earlier, try to throw God a bone on worship day in verse 10. Now you come and stand before me in this house. And so here they were living such a way all week long, and now they want to come and stand and worship before God. That little phrase in verse 10 that says, you come and stand before me, it has the idea of coming face to face, facing God. How would you like to get in a boxing ring and face, I have no idea who the world champion boxer is now, I don't really follow that sport, but would you like to stand there and put on some gloves and face the world champion boxer? If somebody offered you $1 million, if you could beat him, would you do it? I wasn't going to say if you just get in there and see how long you could stand up. Somebody might do that. What chance would we have of facing a world championship boxer in the ring? I don't think we'd have any chance at all, would we? Well, they thought that they were going to stand face to face with God and somehow defeat God. And God says, that's so foolish. It will not work. Wicked hypocrisy there will knock you out, so to speak. Then he goes on to address their willful disobedience, beginning at verse 13. And now, because you've done all these works, saith the Lord, this is Jeremiah preaching to them, I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but you heard not. And I called you, but you answered not. There. You know, maybe you do like I do with your cell phone. You've got most all your contacts in your phone. And if you get a call from someone that's not in the contact and it doesn't have a name with it, you just kind of let it go to voicemail. And if they really want me, if it's not, you know, some kind of scam or somebody wanting to send me on a cruise or whatever, you know, I just let it go to voicemail, and they don't usually leave a voicemail. But what if the message was from God? And I said, oh, that's God, I'm not going to get it. Well, that's what they were doing. They were just ignoring God speaking to them, and it was willful disobedience. And God says he was going to cast them out of his sight. Verse 15, I'll cast you out of my sight as I have cast out your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim. Therefore, verse 16, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear thee. If you're going to treat me that way, if you're not going to listen to what I have to say, I'm not going to listen to what you have to say, and you're going to be on your own. And so their willful disobedience involves several things. It raises God's anger as you look at verse 20. He says, therefore, and that therefore is tied back to verse 13. He says, I called you, but you didn't answer. Therefore, he says, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out. And again, we don't want to stand in a boxing ring match with God Almighty when his anger is stirred because we have been rebellious and refused to listen. Also, willful disobedience robs God's blessings. Verse 23, God doesn't delight in being angry and punishing. It says, but this thing I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I'll be your God. You shall be my people and walk in the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well to you. And so God says, I want it to be well. I want you to profit. I want you to enjoy the land. I want you to have all the blessings there. I want you to have all the things you're trying to find. But you're looking the wrong place, and you're trying to do it yourself. And instead of having God's blessing, they actually go in reverse. Verse 24, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but they walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and they went backward and not forward. And isn't that what happens when we decide to go our own way? We don't make progress with God. We go our own way, we end up going backwards instead. And then we also reinforce sin. Hardening the neck is the phrase, if you look at verse 26. Yet they hearken not to me, nor incline their ear, but they harden their neck. They did worse than their fathers. And so here they are, stubborn, thinking they can go their own way, and they reinforce sin, and sin will always harden the heart. Whenever God speaks to us about a sin, and we try to just shrug it off and don't address the sin and confess it, the heart begins to get harder and harder, and that's what was happening here. And then they rejected God's word, the truth, in verse 28. But thou shalt say to them, this is a nation that obeys not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. Why was truth perished? Because when God came to them with the truth of God's word, remember we saw earlier, they didn't have any delight in God's word. They didn't want to know what God had to say. They had a better idea. They had a better plan. They were going to go their old way, not the way of their forefathers, not the old paths there. And whenever people get to this, begin rejecting the truth in the Bible, just as a side note here, there are three negative responses to truth in the Bible, in Romans. In Romans 1:18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And so one negative response to the truth is just to ignore it, just to turn a deaf ear on it. Another negative response is to try to change it, to make it say something you would rather it say. It says, they change the truth of God into a lie, and they worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And we see people doing that today. They twist the scriptures and try to make them fit their own theology and their own lifestyle, and try to twist it to say something that God's word does not say. And then the third negative response is just to reject it altogether. And that's what we see in Jeremiah. It says, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. And so they have rejected God's word. So we come to the last part of the sermon of Jeremiah. As we have seen regarding the ways and doings, the wicked hypocrisy and willful disobedience, now we see wasted opportunity there. In chapter 7, beginning at verse 31, and they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came I into my heart. God says, I didn't even think about burning your children and they have gone so low and so backward and done worse than their fathers that they're even sacrificing their children there. Verse 32, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that it shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. For they shall bury in Tophet till there be no place, and the carcasses of this people shall be meat for the fowls of the heaven, for the beast of the earth, and none shall fray them away. In the last verse of the sermon in chapter 7, then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate there. And that refers to the ruin of a city. It's just nothing but stubble. And that's what happens when we go our own way, the way of covetousness there. So Jeremiah says, amend your ways and doings. Not the way of covetousness, not the way of self, because it might look good, the grass might look greener on the other side, but the ways of man always lead the wrong direction. But the way of truth, God's word, he says, amend your ways and doings. And God says, I'll give you the land, I'll give you the rest, and I'll bless you, and you'll not be desolate. Let's pray.